name of Jesus. I just come into your presence right now. I ask you to have your way here today. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are a sovereign God and you're in control of everything. And that, Lord, if we'll just learn to just rest in you, then everything will find its course and everything will be just like it's supposed to be. I ask you to just have your way here today. Pour yourself through me. These few little words that I'm going to share here today, Father, just let them minister to people's hearts and let them come to realize that this is all about you and that you're going to do some mighty things in 2020. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. The title to my sermon today is The Year 2020. So, you know, I've got written down here, we're entering into a new year, 2020, and it's going to be a great year because God is going to do some wonderful things. And it goes on to say, it will follow on to know him. And, you know, that's what each year should be about, following on to know him and to know him in greater depths. You know, in Isaiah, my first scripture is Isaiah 43:18-19. And it says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. And how shall it spring forth? Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, and the dragons and the owls, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And you know, I'm going to tell you, folks, you didn't really choose God. You think you did, but he chose you before the foundation of the world. And he had his plan for you before creation, as we know it, began. And you know, part of that was for you to show forth his praises. And you know, a lot of times we can't overemphasize praising the Lord enough. I mean, you know, I'm sure sometimes people get tired of hearing us say, well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And you can say, well, I don't feel like it. You don't know what I'm going through today, Brother Oscar. No, but God does. And if you'll praise him, he inhabits the praises of his saints. And if you show forth his praises, then he will begin to lift you in situations and begin to lift the heavy burdens off of you. And he'll begin to minister just encouragement to your heart. It's hard to be down if you ever tried to sing a real happy song and then try to be sad while you're singing a happy song. You know, it's kind of hard to do, you know. And, you know, if you just learn to praise God in everything, you know, he's promised to make a way in the desert for you, in the dry places. He's promised to make a way in the wilderness. Sometimes when you feel like you're out there all alone by yourself and there's nobody else. And, you know, even when the beasts of the field, and sometimes the beast of the field is that old bestial nature that's out there in the world today. There's a lot of beasts in the field out there. But you know what? He can cause even those places to be at peace with you, you know. And he wants to give you water in the wilderness, a river in the desert to give you. He's want to give drink to his chosen people. And like I say, you're his chosen people. He chose you before the foundation of the world. And in my second scripture here is Lamentations 3:21-26. It says, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It says, it is of the Lord's mercy, and that we are not consumed because of his compassion, fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of God. You know, the scripture says, to him that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And, you know, a lot of times we have to learn to get quiet and still, and we have to patiently learn to wait upon the Lord. You know, our church was founded on that scripture out there. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we used to sing that song, teach me, Lord, to wait. And the word for wait there is literally a word that it's like taking a cord, a three or four fold cord, and binding it together. And you know, one strand cord is not very strong. But if you take a three fold cord and you begin to bind it together, its strength doesn't increase three times. It increases multiple times, way beyond three times, you know. And that's the way it is when we're bound together with the Lord. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And if we'll learn to acknowledge his strength in the middle of our weakness, then, to be perfectly honest with you, we'll have strength that passes understanding. We'll be able to do things that we never thought we were capable even of doing. And, you know, in Psalms 103, 1 through 8, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." You know, his mercies are new every morning. And every morning we can count on the mercy of the Lord. You know, we used to sing that song, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Oh, I will sing. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." And you know, that's part of what we should be doing every day. And as we do that and we make known his faithfulness, he's going to be there with us no matter what's going on or what we're going through. You know, verse 5 says, "Who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He maketh known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, and slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." And you know, I love that it says that he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, I was looking this morning at the process that eagles go through, and I've told you all that when we first began to build this building here, the day that they put the roof on, the very first day, because I'd come down here every day and check on the progress they were making as they were building things, and I just worked 2 miles away, so I'd run down here whenever he'd call me and want me to come down and he'd want to show me something or tell me something. And the very first day that they put the roof on this building, I walked around to the back of the building, and there was an eagle sitting on the peak of the roof. And there's a picture of it back on the bulletin board if any of you have never looked at it. And I felt like the Lord was saying that this was a place where eagles would gather, eagle saints. And, you know, I used to have a picture in my office at work that talked about the eagles, and it showed an eagle soaring. And it said basically that eagles soar against the winds of adversity. And they really do. They don't flap their wings except to get up into a little bit of elevation. And then once they get up into the elevation, they flow on the current that's up there. They just spread their wings and they glide, and they catch the thermals as they're blowing, and it causes them to rise into higher and higher places to where they have eagle vision, and they can see everything that's going on down below them, you know. And you know, the Lord told Israel that he'd gathered them up on eagle's wings. And, you know, I believe he's gathered us up on eagle's wings. And I believe that when he gave me that confirmation, I'm going to say, of even, you know, I look at this little crowd out here and I think, well, there's not very many folks here today. Doesn't make any difference. Everybody's here that's supposed to be here today. God doesn't do anything by chance or by mistake. And I believe that what he spoke to me that day about this was a place where eagles would gather, I believe that was true. And I believe we have a lot of Eagle Saints sitting out there. And I'm going to read to you a little bit about the process that eagles go through. And you might say, well, gee, you know, Oscar, that sounds like me. But I want you to listen to this. It says the molting process of eagles is quite fascinating and inspiring story to those that survive the molting process, are said to grow stronger than they were in their youth. The reason why eagles molt late in their life is because over time their wings become heavy with dirt and oil, and their beaks and their talons start to break, and their eyesight becomes weak. For these graceful predators, molting is a way of rejuvenating all of their appendages so that they can lead a longer life. When eagles become old, their feathers break and their claws start withering. They need to transform themselves so that they can live longer. Therefore, they undergo molting. And to be safe from predators, they choose a secure valley to start this process. They pluck out their wings and break off their beaks by smashing it on a rock and rub off their talons so that they are completely removed from their claws. Now, the main question is, how does the eagle survive this process? Many eagles die during the molting due to the pain. As eagles cannot hunt during this time, they are dependent upon their brothers and sisters for food. Researchers believe that the eagles that survived the gruesome transformation emerged stronger and fitter and sharper than ever before. So if you feel like sometimes that God's got you where he's plucked out your feathers a little bit and you can't really quite soar like you used to, you can't really quite get up as high as you used to once in a while, or you even feel like that your beak's being broken, that you can't eat the food that sometimes God sends your way, just hang on. Hang on in there, because God's going to send the brothers and the sisters to you at times that are going to encourage you, going to strengthen you, going to lift you up. They're going to pray for you. You know, I know when I was a fairly young Christian, sometimes when I'd get into places of real down places, and I used to get down pretty often, you know, when I was first saved. And inevitably, when I would come into the church, it seemed like God would always have a brother or a sister come up to me. And a lot of times it used to be Sister Lois, you know, Lois Pike. She'd come up to me and she'd say, Oscar, you were on my mind all week this week. I've been praying for you all week long. And, you know, when she would say that, it would just touch my heart, because she, you know, the Lord was letting her know I needed those prayers, you know, at that time. And Brother Ernie sometimes would come by. And Brother Ernie would just come by and wouldn't say a whole lot, but sometimes just come by and just pat me on the back. You know, what an encouragement that was, because I would be really down at that time. You know, but yet God knows he will send those to you at those times when you're being renewed, when you're being refreshed. And any time that God begins to take things away out of your life, it's not a fun thing. It's a gruesome thing at times, just like these eagles, you know. And in Jeremiah 29:11-13, it says, he says, I know your thoughts that I think towards you. And, you know, Mike's always saying this is one of his favorite scriptures. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And it says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Most people don't quote the rest of that, but I'm going to tell you what, the rest of that is very important. Because when you learn that he's given you an expected end, and then you call upon him and you go and you pray and you spend time praying and waiting before him, I will hearken unto you And you shall seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with your whole heart. And you know, I'm going to read this to you, and I think this is applicable to a lot of people. It says, you'll come to a place that seems like an abrupt end to your dreams. Every door will appear closed. You may even have to accept responsibilities that seem completely incompatible with the promises God has given you. Before you begin to think it's over, remember, only this portion of your journey is concluded. Be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious, for I take refuge in you. I will seek refuge in the shadow of your wings until danger passes. Don't despair. God is developing your character and strengthening your faith. The purpose for your life is so important that God himself protects it for you. You don't have to fear that it's been lost or ruined forever. No matter how long it takes, obey and follow God without wavering. Despite the detours, he'll unfailingly lead you to your purpose. And you know, God's got a purpose for each one of you sitting out there. And you know, sometimes you feel like, well, God, is this all there is? But sometimes you're fulfilling the exact purpose that he has for you. Even in the little things. I told you last week about not despising the day of little things. Because so many times, if you don't do the little things, God won't allow you to do the greater things, you know. But I love that gospel song, the old gospel song, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll just go in Jesus' name. And that's really what we have to do. And for the year 2020, that's what God is, I believe he's saying to us. Just go in my name. Just know that I'm with you all the time. I'm in you. I'm, you know, you're my body. And everywhere you go, I'm there too. You know, every time you speak, you know, you have the ability to lift somebody up or to strengthen somebody or to help somebody when they have a need or whatever, you know. And I'm going to give you this last scripture, and I'm not going to talk to you a real long time today, and then I'm going to come out and give you guys a chance to say what you want to do for 2020, what God's speaking to you. In Matthew 6:31 through 34, and this is out of the Message Bible. And I really loved this when I read it. It says, what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. You know what? God's trying to get you to relax. Chill out. He's got it all in control. You don't have to worry about anything. Just trust him. Just flow with him. Do what he has you to do. That's all you got to do. You know, quit letting your mind tell you, oh, you should be doing more, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. You can beat yourself completely to death trying to wrestle around with everything you think you should be doing. If God wants you to do something, he'll let you know he wants you to do it. And you'll know for sure you're supposed to do it. But if you jump way ahead of him in something, then you'll learn some things in whatever you're doing, but it might be a hard lesson, you know. Says, what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, not to be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. I love this part here. Steep your life in God reality. You know, one of my favorite scriptures out of the Phillips Bible is in the epistle of John, the third chapter, where he says, if reality were to break forth, we would be just like him. And you know, we need to steep our lives in God's reality, what his word declares about us, who and what we are in Christ. Not what your situations and circumstances say about you, not what your neighbors say about you, not what your family says about you, but what God says about you. He says that you're his beloved. He says you're more than conquerors. He says you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that he can think or ask. He says that you're the head, you're not the tail. He says you're kings and priests unto God. He says you're wonderfully made. You know, he says a lot of things about you if you go in there and start looking about the things God says about you. And it isn't what the world's saying about you. Because to the world, you're a heretic, you're a religious fanatic, you're a lot of things. But I got news for you. There's going to come a time when the world's going to come around. And they're going to see Christ in you. And they're going to understand. You're going to teach them that Christ in you is the hope of glory. And it says, steep your life in God reality, in God initiative. Don't worry about somebody else's initiative. Worry about God's initiative. Whatever God has you do, that's all you need to worry about. You don't need to worry about that other stuff. And God provision. God will provide. He's promised to provide your every need. You know, right now the economy seems to be doing pretty good and everything's going. That doesn't mean that's going to continue on. There's going to come a time when all of a sudden things are going to turn around and start back the other direction. And you know what? When that happens, God's your provision. Not your 401k, not your bank account, not your house, not your car, not your credit cards or any of those things. God is your provision. He's your ever-present help in time of need. And it says, don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't worry about what God did 6 months ago, 10 years ago, or 15 years ago. That day is gone. It's not going to come back. Worry about what he's doing today. And when I say worry, I'm not saying really worry. I'm saying take notice of what he's doing today. Live in the reality of today, of asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do today? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about a week from now. Don't worry about 6 months from now. And I know a lot of times as you get older, you can stand back and think, Lord, aren't you ever going to really do more with me than this, or push me out into more ministry than this or whatever? Don't worry about all that. Take care of today. Say, Lord, what would you have me do today? Do the little things today. And you know what? You'll be right in step with God. You'll be right where you're supposed to be. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. You know, boy, I tell you what, people are getting worked up about a lot of things out there today. Don't get worked up about that stuff. God's got all that in control. There ain't nothing going to happen out there that he didn't allow to happen. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. You know, a lot of people spend a whole lot of their life worrying about everything that's going on, worrying about their family and worrying about this one and worrying about that one and worrying about something else. You know, I did a word study one time looking in the Bible, and do you know the word worry doesn't even appear in the Bible? The actual word worry, and in the King James translation, it's not even in there. But boy, we sure spend a lot of time with it, don't we? We need to quit spending time with things that are not even in the Word of God. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to do any of these things. You know, that poem that he gave me years ago about why do you struggle and why do you fret when all you accomplish is to get upset. And that's really all we ever accomplish when we get all shook up about things. When everything seems to go the wrong way, just lift up your hands and begin to pray. And truly to praise me in all these things, my peace will lift you as though you had wings. As you look on the problems below, I'll give you the strength and the wisdom to know that surely I hold you in the palm of my hand. Not maybe, not sort of. Surely I hold you in the palm of my hand. And nothing can touch you unless it's part of my plan. God's plans were laid before the foundation of the world. His plans he had for you and for me were laid before the foundation of the world. And you know what we need to do? each day, ask him, Lord, what would you have me do today? Today. And you know, Scripture says that they didn't enter into a lot of the promises of God, the Jews didn't, because of unbelief. And it says that we're to labor to enter into his rest. And the word for rest there is the word repose. And it means to lay down in a recumbent posture. In other words, to chill out and relax. God's got it all in control. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to fret about it. I'm going to tell you what, if something happens where you lose your whole bank account and you trust God, he'll take care of you. You'll be just fine. You know, David said, once I was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Paul made the statement. He said, I've learned that in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith be content. I've learned how to abound, and I've learned how to be abased. You know, and I'm going to tell you what, that's a tremendous thing to learn. Because if you trust in anything but God, if you trust in the uncertain of riches, or trust in education, or trust in anything else, it can fail you. I mean, I know there's a lot of young people who get out of college, and they've spent years and years and years studying, and they get out of college, and they have all these big, grandiose ideals, and then guess what? Guess where a lot of them end up working? At a fast food restaurant, or serving food somewhere, or whatever. Why? Because that education wasn't the answer. God is the answer. But I just want you to know that as you go into 2020, have an expectancy. You know, Scripture says that we're saved by hope, but what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? And hoping, the word hope is literally has part of the meaning of the word hope means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. Start anticipating every day with pleasure what God's going to do. Get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord. Beautiful day. You're going to do wonderful things today. Let me be a part of it in some way. And you know what? That's pleasing to the Lord. That's a great thing. He loves to hear you say stuff like that. He looks at you when you said that, and he's up smiling in heaven, so to speak, in heaven right inside of you. and he's smiling in you, and he's saying, ah, oh, that's my beloved son, or that's my beloved daughter. I'm well pleased in him. You know? And that's exactly where he wants you to be. Quit fretting the little stuff and worrying about the little stuff. Just do the little things that he has you do on a daily basis, and you'll be fine, you know. Well, praise the Lord. Well, Curtis, I'm going to get this red mic here, if you'll turn it on. And I'm going to come out here and let some people tell me some things that the Lord's going to do with them, or the Lord's been speaking to them for 2020. Who wants to go first? Don't all jump up at the same time. All right.
I'm going to, whether it be a nonprofit organization or if I have to start it as a business, because I heard it's really hard to get nonprofit status, but I'm going to open that 24-hour house that I've been working on, and I'm going to help the homeless and drug addicts and just addicted people, and have them a place to be able to go 24 hours, 7 days a week to get help and to have somebody there that could care for them and show them that they're loved.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Don't run over me now.
As soon as you said that, I thought of, we had just gone to visit Audrey, and on the way in, there was a starling little lady, white-haired lady. She just something about her, you know, and we were, he wasn't with me at the time. He came later and went by her. So I just looked at her and said, well, have you seen Santa Claus yet? And just to kind of tease her a little bit, and she laughed and teased her about being a good girl and went on. Well, when we came back out, Sterling looked over and he says, "I'm going to go tease her." I said, "I already teased her." He says, "Well, I talked to her on the way in, just talking to her, you know." And we spent about 15 minutes talking to her, and it was such a blessing. She had such a peace and joy about her and a happiness that you just wanted to stay there a while. But she began to talk about her family and her children and how she was making a stand, and she was never going to give up. And she said, "And I pray for my, I can't do much now. I can't do much now," she said. "I'm in a wheelchair, but I pray for my family." And my, I said, "Oh, they're so blessed. They're so blessed to have that in their life." And it made such an impression on me. And I thought, and one thing I think now is the time, if there ever was, that we need to stay. What does that say about having done all to stand? This is so important now, to stand and to be stable and stand. And the strength, in the strength of the Lord, you can't do it yourself, but right. In the strength of the Lord. And this is an hour when we need to be that strength for others, as she was for her family. And I think each one of us want to be like you said about how Jesus, he is in this flesh. Right. And so wherever we go and whatever we do or are involved with, he is there with us. And I love that because, you know, you don't have to be concerned or worry, you know, you just have to let him work it out, and it takes the pressure off of you for all these things we are going through.
I agree. While she says, she took most of my time up.
You just said amen.
Amen.
That's right. All right. ladies sometimes have a way of saying what we spend a lot of time trying to say in just a few words, and they I love what Benny Skinner said one time when he was here. You know, Benny preached some real nice long sermons and everything, and Dura got up and she spoke, and he says, "She can say in a few words what it takes me an hour to say." Women are better communicators than us men, aren't
Yeah,
you?
That's Benny for that's sure. I don't know. I just personally feel that our prayer should be, "Lord, I believe he's bringing new wine."
Yeah.
You know, I really do. I don't think, you know, I think he's to the point where he's saying, you know, it's not going to be business as usual in 2020. It's the new wine is coming, and that we need to pray that he prepare a new wineskin in us, because you can't put that new wine in the old wineskin. And I know that it's many times we try to, you know, and so I don't know. I just feel that the traditions of men in the body of Christ are going to come down, and that the new wine's going to be flowing. It's going to be a joyous time, you know, and like we were talking in Sunday school, in his presence there's fullness of joy.
Amen.
So it's time to be joyful as a body. I mean, it's time to unite as a body. It's time to basically prepare for the next move of God, and I believe it's coming.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I just want to thank God. I look at the previous years and the things that have come into our lives, the people we've met, the ones we've come in contact with. I look at the different word that God has spoken to me through others. One thing he was telling me, well, my son went to be with the Lord a year ago, my sister this year, and then I look at the woman that I've been with, Karen, for, she's 96 years old, for 3 years. I look at the marriage and help meet that God that I've become with my husband. I thank God so much for that, how he brings people together. Amen. And how he sets things up. And when I shared about that video that I'm going to be ready, it's not like just you're passing on, but being ready for those things that he has already set in motion and he has prepared you for. And God has so let me know that you can't be everything to everybody, which I have a tendency to do. And he has let me know that he is my family's salvation, not me. Amen. That I really need to look to him for guidance and wisdom in what to do, how to do, when to do, and to whom. And I just thank him for all the opportunities, the people that cross your path, that there's such, it's a privilege. It's such a privilege because you may be meeting a need, but it's always a two-way street, that how that I'm being blessed also. And this lady, I just love her. We're just family now. I'm with her two sons, and she had five sons. She's outlived. She lost one last year, and she's outlived. She's got two left that come to the house I've met, and we've prayed with them. And she and I pray together every day. And I just thank God for every opportunity. And I look in the new year to be have an even deeper relationship with him, that I hear his voice even more, even if it's so just a whisper, that I know it is him and that he is guiding and directing me into all things. Thank you.
I just want the Lord to increase your spirit in me and this old man that's kind of still in me to decrease. That's what I want for the year 2020, if it be God's will.
Well, I've seen a tremendous amount of growth in you, buddy. I just want to tell you, Lord is doing it. He's doing it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? You got some, Kathy?
You know what I see for 2020? Great anticipation in my heart. I just see the winds of change coming, both in me and in the body of Christ. And I take to heart that the day is coming, and is soon, that it will be unveiled, and that he will see, that the world will see only Jesus in us.
Jack, how about you? Not really? Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing or trying to ask for, but I would like to bring some help to my granddaughter, because she works at the Children's Hospital in Dayton, and she was called in Christmas Day, and because they had an overflow of children, 26 kids was brought into the hospital on Christmas Day, and they had to call her in to work, and I don't know why, God. I'm not blaming him, but I just want to answer, why does he have that happen to so many children? I mean, one died, you know, as a young boy, 10 years old, and she sees all this, and she's told her mother, my sister, my daughter, she's, I can't stand it. I'm losing it. Because all these kids come in, and I just pray that God would maybe interfere and help her. Unfortunately, she doesn't know him, but he knows her. So if he could just help her get through, of course, it happens every day when you're in that field. So I just want him to know what he did for me. I would like him to do that for her.
Well, just keep her in your prayers, and just realize that, you know, sometimes when you see little children die or something, I mean, that's a sad thing for everybody, but they go back to be with the Lord. They're in His presence. They go back with Him, and that's not. That's a bad thing on our side of the veil, but not on His side of the veil, because, you know, they're in His presence. Scripture says there's fullness of joy, so they're in the presence of the Lord, and you know, so it's kind of one of those things where we look at it with a natural mind at times and say, oh, how could a, you know, God let this little baby die or this little person die? But when they went back to be with Him, it's okay. When you realize that. They didn't really die. They just moved back over into the spirit realm with Him. And that makes it a little more acceptable. But with her, just keep her in your prayers. Keep lifting her up. And as you do that, God will honor your prayer. Just keep praying for her. And sometimes you coming to the Lord, she might have to come down to a place where she feels so inadequate and unfrustrated and everything else. To finally say to the Lord, Lord, I give up. I've got to have You in my life. You know, I can't. I don't have the answers, and we don't have the answers. But He is the answer in us. You know, Christ in us. You know. Okay.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Did you have anything, Debbie?
What was something? I'm amazed at where God leads. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised when you pray. God opened doors. What are we doing today? I ask Him every day, where are we going? What are we doing? And He takes you places. Yeah. He placed me in the seniors groups where I met Etta. And I know. And I'm hoping in 2020.
You guys always laugh when you say you met each other. Is that good or bad?
Well, no, people thought we'd known each other for years, and we just met last year at the seniors group. Yeah. But I pray that the Lord moves upon the seniors. Yeah. There's a lot of needs in these groups. We've got a lot of. We've got five people in their 90s, and you see them sick, you see them dying. We have one die a couple weeks ago. I always pray that the Lord will give a word in season to the people that you're around, because I never know where I'm going to go and what's going to be worked through me. I remember years ago going to a financial seminar with a friend that invited me. It was a free dinner. Why not? Okay, I'm going. And everybody was pledging their money to this guy who wanted to take it and invest it for you. Yeah. And they were signing up cards. And I had these people that were sitting next to me. It was a pastor with this whole church. And they were signing up their cards like crazy. And he said, sister, aren't you going to hook up with this guy and let him take care of your money? I said, I don't have any money. Oh, well, now you know your family's going to end up putting you in a bad nursing home down the roadways if you don't invest your money. I said, I don't have any money. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I have a rich Heavenly Father. He was a pastor of a church. He didn't have a clue what I was talking about. I said, I have a rich Heavenly Father. I said, He supplies all of my needs. And it just went over this guy's head, and I felt really bad. He was the pastor of the church and really didn't have a... But it's those situations that you find yourself in, and you go, God, what am I supposed to say? You don't have to work anything up. God just, it comes on out. And I pray again, like I said, for the seniors group, that we have more that come in, because there's a lot of needs out there. But yeah. our main trouble right now is transporting them there. Yeah. They get to the place where they can't drive any longer. So I'd really like to see the group, you know, become more alive with the group and with each other. And God would use me in that respect. Yeah. I'd like to see a few more of them come to church. Yeah. You know, it's never too late to invite people to come. We all know people. Invite people. You know, so maybe we'll fill a few of these seats and keep inviting. Yeah. You know, you don't know what the Lord's doing in people's hearts.
That's true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you have something, Victoria?
A few months ago, I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was God pretty much telling me that I needed to write about a series of events that happened or started in 1985. My oldest son spent 8 weeks with my father in Florida, and during that time, a teenager who came into our lives through a second marriage raped my child almost every day. When I learned about it, I called a physician who was a friend of mine, and he line things up at Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. And when we came back from the hospital in my prayer life with my child, I told him, I said, "Son, Jesus who lives in your heart was raped with you every single time. You were never alone." And he went to bed, or he was able to sleep in peace that evening. But when I went to my prayer place, I was so angry with God. And I said, "This was my only son." And I heard back, "My only son too." And the writing that I have started, that will be the title of the book, and I hope to complete it in 2020.
You know, I like what you said there, Victoria, about God said he was his only son too. Your son was his son. So
his name is Anthony.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's good. Anybody else? Anybody up there? Okay. Praise the Lord. Anybody back here before I go up that way? Okay. Randy, God bless you.
How we doing? Good. So I've been saying for the last couple of months that I feel like God is changing his, let's put it this way, it's not necessarily his, but my idea of who he is, okay? And I really feel like there's things that through the process of just life, you talk to people, you hear things, and you really feel like that the Lord is speaking about this year coming. And one of the things that I think that is we're going to see this year is I really feel like God is speaking clearly about forgiveness and how we walk in forgiveness and how we demonstrate forgiveness, okay? So I've been reading a lot of scripture just recently, and in Romans 10, it, you know, Paul writes specifically, he writes about Isaiah, and he says, Isaiah very boldly says, "I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not consciously ask for me. But out of Israel," he says, "all day long I have stretched out my hands in compassion to a disobedient and obstinate people." And, you know, I really truly believe that a lot of times scripture is written to the church body more so than to the world. I think that there are things written in scripture that are very, very clearly written to the body, okay, and how people, you know, relate to us and how we relate to them. And that process is going to demonstrate forgiveness to people. I had a phone call, and again, I've been just dealing with all month long, okay, some issues within the family of people that, you know, have done some things that had created some issues where, you know, even in my own family, here we are trying to plan get-togethers. Well, we got to have people come over at this time because these people over here have a problem with this person, and you're doing this unique dance, okay? And, you know, it came down to the point where I had to look at my wife and say, "Listen, this is, you know, there comes a point in time where we're either going to forgive these people and demonstrate this and walk this forgiveness thing out, okay? And, you know, we're going to have to let the chips kind of fall where they may, okay?" I got a phone call on the way to church this morning. And, you know, the statement in the phone call was, "Man, I can forgive them. I just don't want to see them again." Well, and I was telling them on the phone, "Look, man, you know, who am I? Who am I not to forgive these people? Okay? You know, I guess there comes a point in time where, you know, you're going to have to put this thing behind you. And I've tried to do this the best way I know how. And I got told, man, I don't want to see him. And I was like, my brother, I love you dearly, okay? But I really believe that, you know, God is sending us a clear message about forgiveness and how we deal with it. And it wasn't necessarily that I was talking to him. I was kind of talking to myself. You know, I really felt like the Spirit is telling me, hey, man, this year you're going to have to walk something out. And you're going to have to do it in front of people. And you're going to have to demonstrate this. Because just like the Scripture says, you know, they didn't know I was reaching out to this obstinate person. Does that make any sense? And if we are the body, we're, you know, even in everything you see on the news and everything you see in your own personal families, I feel like God is saying clearly, the Spirit is speaking, saying, hey man, this is the year of Jubilee. Now, I don't know. Can't tell you if this is the year of Jubilee. I didn't look it up scripturally. I didn't look it up in the Jewish calendar. I didn't look it up. But I feel like that's what God is saying. The Spirit is clearly defining the year of Jubilee for 2020. It's time for forgiveness for each other.
That's great. You know, I honestly believe that Jesus was the fulfillment of the year of Jubilee in the sense that he forgave everybody, you know. And they just don't know that they're forgiven. And that's why a lot of times he reaches out his hand to somebody who didn't really seek after him, and he gets a hold of them, he grabs them. And boy, when they feel that forgiveness, it just melts them down. You know, and it happened to all of us when he got a hold of us. But I believe what you're saying. I believe this is a time when, you know, 20, the number 20 in Scripture is the number for redemption. So 2020, that's double redemption. That's a lot of redemption, you know. And people need to know they've already been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. They've been set free. But we a lot of times are not always doing our job in making sure that they understand that. You know, and if we can't forgive them when something goes on, then boy, we're really not showing them the redemption of Christ, you know. And you know, I believe God's going to deal with the body of Christ a lot, but he's dealing with the world. But you know, creation is there's I like the way it says it in the Phillips translation of the Bible. It says they're standing on tiptoe, waiting to see the sons of God come into their own, you know. And you know, when I was a little kid, I used to go downtown sometimes, and I'd be down there, and they'd be tearing down a building, and they'd have these big walls up around the building where you couldn't see the what I used to call steam shovel, but I guess it was, I don't know, some kind of backhoe or something, where they were ripping these walls down. But, you know, I'd get up on my toes just trying to look over that wall so I could see what was happening on the other side. And that's the way it says creation is like that. And it's time for us to begin to take down the walls and begin to show them what God's created, what he's already done, what he's already accomplished. And he can do that in their life and just turn their lives completely around. Praise the Lord. That was real good, brother. I appreciate that. If there's nobody else, we'll stand and we'll close in a word of prayer. Anybody, somebody else? Okay. Hold on just a second. Let me get over here.
I want to say how much Buddy and I still look forward coming down, you know, here, and we gather together. I know we each have our individual relationship with God, but when we come together, to me it's like, I'm just anxious. It's like a family reunion. You're coming down here and seeing all the rest of your family and how we've gotten to know one another more through things we've gone through and prayed for one another. And then the fellowship dinners and then how we send cards or, you know, even talk on Facebook. Yeah. But I just thank God that we're all one big family. And I just look forward to us coming together. And it's just like a family reunion. Amen. That's what I was saying. And I just look that it's going to be even greater in 2020.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Rich, how about you closing in a word of prayer for us? You have something you want to say?
No, no.
How about you closing in a word of prayer for us? Here, I'll let you do this.
Precious Father, we come to you right now, Lord, and we yield our lives to you. Lord, we know that you know what's best for each and every person here in this assembly, and that, Father, that we wait in expectancy for 2020 to come our way, Lord. And we, whatever days are left in this year, we just ask you to make preparation for what's going to happen in the coming year. We're excited about it. We know that all things work together for our good, so that gives us reason for hope, and so does Christ in us. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together as a body, and Lord, I just pray blessings upon everybody here today and those that aren't, in Jesus' name. Amen.